You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
Is the virgin birth a big deal in the Bible? Must a person believe in the virgin birth in order to be saved into eternal life? Let's talk about this. The virgin birth is a big deal in the Bible, simply because the Bible says that Mary would be a virgin when she gave birth to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who today scoff at the virgin birth or simply doubt that it could ever happen have a problem because God gives His own word on this, and this is a simple miracle done by God. There are greater things done by God, such as the salvation into eternal life of sinners. There are three primary passages in the Bible that speak about the virgin birth. Let's begin. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel being God with us, this is the great prophecy of Isaiah about how God Himself is going to enter into the world. Isaiah 7:14. There's no question here. There's no big mystery here. It's a simple prophecy about a miracle birth that was given about 600 years before Jesus came into the world. And now moving into the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, right off the bat, we have God's record about how this birth through this virgin girl is going to go down. Matthew chapter 1, and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. There's some words here that we need to cover and explain that will totally turn the lights on about this event. The word espoused here, Mary was espoused to Joseph. This is not the same as our modern tradition of marriage. The espousal is the idea of giving a souvenir. It's closer to our custom of the engagement period. It's before the official wedding happens. The two are not joined physically. They've not become one flesh. And that's the situation with Joseph and Mary. They haven't come together yet. There's another word, says here, that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The word of here is very small, but it's important. It's a Greek word, ek, that Matthew wrote. Ek, it's a preposition that places something somewhere. The word ek is used in the Bible to show where something came from or where it's going. And so he says this baby's origin is in the Holy Spirit. Ek. He's going to come out of the Holy Spirit. So what we have here simply is the Bible explaining to us that that baby is going to be given from the Holy Spirit into the womb of Mary. Mary is not active in how that baby goes inside her. It's a simple transaction carried out by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's very innocent. You'll see that when we go to passage number 3 in the Bible. And now in Matthew 1, verse number 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph was a just man. We have God's very word about that. He's done nothing wrong. He didn't cause that baby in Mary's womb. When he found out about it, he knew that he had to put Mary away, assuming the worst about her character. And when he's going to put her away privately, shows his love for her in his gracious manner. He didn't want her to be a public example. He's going to privately end the relationship. But that's when God moves again. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There's that word of again, the Greek word ek. The beginning of this is in the Holy Spirit. That baby is going to come out of the Holy Spirit and be placed into Mary. This virgin birth is a very simple miracle. Mary is pretty passive in the whole thing, at least in the beginning of how that baby's placed into her. She's just told by the angel what's going to happen, and the Holy Spirit places that baby inside her. More on that when we get to Luke in just a moment. But it says here in verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. That's a quote of Isaiah 7:14. Here's the Bible in full agreement with itself, the Old Testament and the New Testament married together. The verses are layered right on top of one another. A simple miracle, a transaction caused by the Holy Spirit. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So Joseph and Mary did go on to happily wed. They had other children. He knew her as a husband knows a wife after the birth of Jesus Christ. And now let's turn and look at Luke and chapter 1. Luke, the beloved physician. If anyone knows anything about childbirth, who's a writer of Scripture, it's going to be Luke. Amen. And he gives us this great account. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." So here it's repeated. Matthew and Luke are in full agreement together about these events, who did what. The word virgin used twice in verse 27. The word espoused is here, the giving of a souvenir. That's what the word means. It's so like our engagement ring. And this baby is going to be born to Mary and Joseph, who's of the house of David. Verse 28 says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now Mary's favored by the Lord here. She has something going with God that's pretty special, that God would do this with her. But she's not to be worshipped. Mary is not above women. She's honored among women, but not above. And now skip, verse 30. The angel goes on to say, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So here's the double prophecy. This is the giving of Jesus as Savior, and it's the giving of the one that some will call Emmanuel, who's going to be the King of Israel. Two prophecies about one baby, both true and very important in the Bible. There's so much agreement here between these three different writers of Scripture about how this virgin birth is going to happen and what it means to us. But Mary has a question. Her question is a very simple one, but it really matters. Verse 34 of Luke chapter 1, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And so the Bible, again, very clear and very redundant. Joseph is a just man. Mary is a pure virgin girl. She says to, of all people, Gabriel, the messenger angel of God, I haven't known a man. She is in all the purity of a young virgin maid who's going to be officially married soon, but as of now, no physical union, not with Joseph or any man. Now we get the great benefit of having the angel's answer right there in the Bible for us who love the Word of God. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so the angel gives us two important phrases here about how the Holy Spirit places that growing baby inside of Mary. First, he uses this little two-word phrase, come upon, very common in the Bible. It simply means that something comes upon someone. There need not even be any physical touch to use this word. The Holy Spirit comes upon Mary and a deposit is made inside her womb. This is in all purity. And then the second phrase, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. This is a stronger clue. There's no touch even involved here. It's an overshadowing. Let me give you an example from Scripture. The word overshadow can be used when a cloud passes over a person. The cloud makes no touch, but the shadow simply passes over. And this is the work of the power of the Holy Spirit to place that growing baby inside Mary. So what we have in the virgin birth is a very passive Mary who is used simply as a place to deposit that baby body of Jesus Christ. She will be the holding place for that baby as Jesus Christ grows from embryo into baby. And Mary will provide the home for that growing young man who is the Son of God, who will be the Savior of the world and the King of Israel. So there's the Bible description in three places of the virgin birth. The Bible gives its witnesses of this fact in history. Here they are. The angel Gabriel is a witness. The Holy Spirit is a witness. Mary, Joseph, Matthew, and Luke, both as Bible writers. Six witnesses of the virgin birth. And now this great question. Must a person believe the virgin birth in order to be saved into eternal life? Well, the virgin birth is not a point of the gospel. I can't think of a gospel presentation from one person to another in the Bible that takes pains to mention the virgin birth, and I don't think we should either. But a person who scoffs at the virgin birth, they have knowledge of it, this person. Unlike most of us who probably had never heard of the virgin birth when we heard the gospel and we trusted in Christ, but now a person who has knowledge of the Bible's truth of the virgin birth, and yet who scoffs at that virgin birth. Now, this is serious because this person is essentially calling God a liar. A person who scoffs at the virgin birth is saying that the record that the Holy Spirit and the angel Gabriel, the mouth of God, and Mary and Joseph, and Matthew and Luke, who are under inspiration by God, is not true. Well, that person is essentially making God out to be a liar. If that person is not receptive of a simple birth that places Jesus Christ the Savior into the world, then tell me, how could this person believe in the greater miracle that Jesus Christ is God and that he bears the sin of all people in the world? What I'm telling you, friend, is the greater miracle is to believe in Christ as Savior, to believe that my only way to heaven is by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the point of faith. But without believing in the virgin birth, how could a person believe in the greater miracle of Jesus' crucifixion death?
Thanks for joining us for Focus on the Bible. This episode is a production of Focus Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. For questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, you can write to us at Focus Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, 3-0633. For more information about our ministry, you can visit our website, freddiecoyle.org. That's FreddieCoyle.org. We hope to see you again for next week's episode of Focus on the Bible.